Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a new edition of Absolute Truth Absolutely, a new episode. We are so glad that we are able to transmit this podcast via our website, lwym.org/ATA, and also through the iTunes store. You can find us through the key phrase, Absolute Truth, Absolutely. As always, with me is my partner in crime. I like calling him my partner in crime because he is my father, and we tend to see eye to eye on these things, and he is the pastor of Living Word Church in Miami, Florida, Jesus Martinez.
I guess I must be feeling strong because I'm feeling a lot of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So thanks for having me once again.
Absolutely. That's what the whole point of this podcast is, to disseminate truth. We find that truth seems to be a novelty nowadays, which is kind of a sad situation, but it seems like programs like these are few and far in between. And I think we need more of this so that more people would wake up, first and foremost, to the truth of the gospel, and secondly, to what is occurring in the world today, so people can be well informed about what's going on and they can protect themselves and their children, especially a lot of young people. A lot of young people listen to us, and I think it's important that they get a clear worldview of what's going on. And I know that this is part of what the Lord has placed in your heart. I know that that's what happens in the ministry, and this is just an offshoot of that.
Absolutely.
So today we wanted to speak about the blind trust that many Christians are placing on what I would call the modern stable of speakers and preachers. And how has this manifested, Gio? Well, you'll find that on a lot of occasions when you ask Christians about certain pastors' phrases or certain famous teachers or speakers' phrases, hey, you know, this is not what the Bible says about that. Why is it that he said this? And you begin to examine and criticize those things and bring just judgment upon what they say and teach, they come back at you and they lash out, saying, how can you question God's anointed? And you find that at the core of that is that they've placed blind trust in those preachers and speakers and the personalities, if you will, or celebrities within the Christian cult, if you will, instead of going to the Bible to see what the Bible is. In other words, they've placed trust in men, and they do not trust, or rather distrust, the Bible.
I have documentation that proves that up to the late 1800s and early 1900s, the Catholic Church told the flock, you cannot open the book without us. You could go to hell for opening the book without the clergy. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the reason they bring out their weekly magazine is so that people will not read for themselves or interpret for themselves. And it's sad to say that the same mistake is committed on a daily, weekly, monthly, and annual basis in the evangelical circle. Whatever pastor says, that must be it, because he is the anointed of God. He is God's man. And so he said it, that's the way I understand it, and there will be no more argument. And this is why people are led astray. Yes, the Bible does speak in Hebrews chapter 7, chapter 13, verse 7, and also in verse 17, about pastors and submission and imitating their faith. But it's not talking about blindly following them. Paul calls us to examine all things. And the first person that I should be examining his doctrine, his views, is my pastor, because he's the one that I listen to the most. Yeah. You know that I challenge our people all the time. Yeah. To go home after Sunday service or the weekday service and just review the things that I've said and go to their Bible and see if they're so.
Yeah.
And if they're not, discard them. And I want to be confronted when I teach error.
Yeah.
But this is not the way that it usually happens. Most people are told, I am your pastor. I am the anointed one. And you will listen to what I say. Of course, they don't present it exactly like this. But, you know, careful not to touch the anointed.
Yeah.
How dare you speak against the anointed? So it adds up to whatever I say goes, and you have no authority to question it.
And a lot of times what you'll find also is that there seems to be a suppression, a sort of religious fascism, I tend to call it, where these people that are examined and they know that there's ulterior motives at work, what they'll do is they'll do anything and everything they can to suppress other people's or other individuals' criticisms. Look, I love quoting Jesus specifically in this case, because he tells us that he who is in darkness never comes to light because he does not want his deeds to be exposed. Why? Because the deeds thereof are from his father, Satan, the devil. But yet he who does the deeds of the Father will come to the light so that the Father and the Son may be glorified. Jesus is very clearly telling us that when a person has nothing to hide, when they're doing things for God and because they want to be disseminators of absolute truth, they don't mind being scrutinized. They don't mind being examined because they want to be right. They want to make sure that they are on the straight and narrow. But when you find other individuals, charlatans, I'll dare call them, that they have other things at work in their hearts and in their minds, but yet they're trying to sell it to the public as something else, automatically when a watchtower person is able to see what's going on, a person who's very vigilant and says, wait a minute, I know what's going on there, and they denounce it, automatically the demonization begins, not only from the personality, but from those that follow the personality. Why? Because they've trusted that person blindly. And instead of examining everything that they say and do, they simply take everything the personality says and they say it's concrete, it's final. This is the same thing that the world does with its celebrities. They elevate these people to this stature, to this place where, well, if they're successful and have a lot of money, then what they say and have to tell us has to be true. Instead of examining the merits of the statements or claims themselves and saying, you know, could that be true, and put it through the grinder. They don't do that. The same ideology has now crept into the church with pastors, with those that have reached the pinnacle of fame or success, if you will. And they say, the Christians sit there and say of these people, you know what? If he said it, it has to be true because he's successful and he's, you know, plugged into the principles. And yet when people like you and I come and we say, you know, what this person said is a bunch of baloney, it's a bunch of bunk, because the Bible says something contrary, then the demonization starts. And last point before, I know you have something important to say, is the following. If Paul didn't find it an issue that they would examine him, as we find in Acts 17:11, that the Bereans were reading the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true, if it didn't bother him, it should definitely not bother me.
I don't see a single reason why citizens, congregants, should trust the leadership. If you read your history, if you trace it carefully, you will find that people in power, usually, most of the time, are power hungry. And they will do anything to get to that place of power, and just about anything to keep it. And people that usually get hurt are the common people, the people that are trusting. The same with clergy, the same with ministers. So I find no reason, and I could go to the Bible and quote a few verses about just trusting in the Lord, but I'm just going to look at it from a natural point of view, just to showcase that something strange is going on and has been going on throughout history, that even though we get beat up time upon time by our leadership, we continue to say, yeah, but not this particular fellow and not this particular organization. These are genuine people. We should be suspect.
Yeah.
And this is why Paul calls us to examine all things. I have no reason whatsoever to trust in anybody in politics, because at the end of the day, if they need to step on me, if they need to use me, they will. And unfortunately, it's the same thing in ministry. I like what Paul said to Timothy about, you know, being on the lookout, guarding himself. And he says, be careful with yourself.
Yeah.
Because we have within us all the elements that lend themselves to corruption. And congregants should be aware of that. Their ministers are not infallible. This is the other point that really saddens me. In the name of love, ministers are doing horrific things. And then in the name of more love, once the congregation finds out, they are obligated to restore them to that place of preeminency and to that place of, he is still the anointed, he still makes no mistakes. So it's very sad to see some of the things that are going on in the ministry today, and then because it's the PC thing to do to restore that person. And I believe in restoration, but there is a time of, you know, you sit down and stay low and let's see how the Lord would raise you again, etc. Because I believe in restoration. But no, these people don't even sit down for a while. They don't even get spiritual help from other ministers. It's like, you have to restore me. And not only to the glory that I had before, but to a higher glory. And this is just more evidence of how blind the followers are.
Yeah. It happens in politics. It happens in the church. And if we're beginning to follow the world, then that should be an alarm that should be raised. So what you're saying in essence is that there should be a healthy amount of skepticism, even towards ourselves. I find it interesting that when we tell people, because I know you've told the congregants, I've told the youth group on a ton of occasions, don't trust me. They look at us with this face like, what do you mean don't trust you? You're anointed of God to do this. I say, yeah.
Because they're used to hearing, trust me, trust me.
Exactly. And what we're telling you is that, look, we want to make sure that we stand in truth. And I don't want to lead you down a path that is going to lead you down that wide door that leads you down perdition. I want to make sure that you are not affiliated with me, but rather you're affiliated with Jesus. And this is why we tell our listeners, we tell everyone through the radio, we tell people here, our congregants, the youth group, whatever the case may be, don't trust us. You trust the Bible. You make sure that you place your absolute trust in Jesus Christ, because he will never let you down. We will. We're humans. We're going to fall. We're going to have our shortcomings. So there should be a healthy skepticism towards everyone else. Look, I understand that there's some people that they can take this to the extreme, and they say, you know what, Gio, Pastor, you guys are taking this to the extreme because you're saying not to trust people. We're not saying that you shouldn't trust at all. We're not going to that point. Again, we tend to go to the extremes instead of finding the middle ground in these things. But what we're saying is that there should always be a lookout in our hearts and in our minds, because first and foremost, we can fall. The listeners can fall. Anyone. We're all humans. We're susceptible to sin. We should be on the lookout, and that we should not place trust on individuals, especially those that will take your trust, then they'll twist it and then they'll throw it back in your face.
I still like trust, but verify.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going there right now with Ronald Reagan. When you examine that phrase, Ronald Reagan was so right. And this is something that you even found. There's a clip out there of Gorbachev in the White House, if I'm not mistaken, where Gorbachev says, why do you always say that? And he goes, I like it. I like the phrase because it's true. It is, in essence, it's telling you that, yeah, I could say that I trust you, but I'm always going to be on the lookout. There's always going to be that bit of skepticism in me that's going to protect me because I'm always on the lookout.
Once you study fallen nature, once you study evil, and you know that it's out there lurking, why would you be so trusting?
Yeah.
When you know it creeps in, and it'll use things that, after it happens, you go like, wow, that was like really, really weird. How did that just happen?
But isn't that what the enemy is waiting for?
Absolutely.
He's waiting for that blind trust so that he'll knock you at the foundation.
Absolutely.
That's what he's waiting for.
I think that examining things, analyzing them, weighing them, is one of the most important things that we can do, but unfortunately, we give it up, especially in this generation that we get things, you know, given to us in a couple of minutes. It takes a long time to do a word study on that, and I don't know. I don't know if I have time. I trust my pastor. He is so good. He's so eloquent. He's so young. He's so youthful, and we find he's from my nation. He's from my country. He's my skin tone, and we find 1,000 reasons to, and none of those are worth 5 cents.
So what you're saying is that part of the reason that people hand over their blind trust is because they're lazy. They don't want to do the work for themselves. They'd rather supposedly someone do it for them. That's part of the reason. That's part of the reason. You'll find that on many occasions. You know why? Because it's the easier way out. And we've become a society that's become so used to give me that the easy way. And don't give it to me the way that it should be done, whereas I have to labor for it. I have to work for it. And there's some satisfaction to know that you're protecting yourself by examining everything. Go ahead.
Why else would you send money to a guy that is selling or sending you this green piece of, you know, cloth that'll get you well? And why else would you continue to send money to a guy that the reports are out there already? Just about everybody knows him, that he's a thief, but he gets on TV and again says, the reason I needed surgery on my face is not cosmetic, it's because I spend so much time praying over these petitions that the ink damaged my face. How could you be so gullible and continue to send money to this guy? You know what it is also? People are hurting. And these guys are so good. at approaching those that are hurting, those that are in need. And I could be wrong, Gio. I think there's a special place somewhere in the deepest parts of hell for those that would take a person's need, a person's pain, and exploit that
yep.
to their own benefit.
Yep.
Nevertheless, having said all that, it still doesn't free every person from examining those that would approach them with, you know, I've got this for you, or if you follow me, this is what you'll be getting. There are people out there trying to exploit you, even in your darkest hour. It still doesn't free you from the obligation of examination.
Yeah. Do you think that part of the reason that people also give into this is because even though there are those that are not necessarily needing, they're not lacking of material goods and stuff, there's always an emotional component to these people's arguments. They seem to appeal to sensationalism
yes,
in order to get people, you know, to lure them into their message, and this is where they get taken advantage of.
Well, it's not just needs. Some people, they are so greedy that these guys, they're very good, they're very crafty. They exploit their greediness. Hmm. If you'll send us 100, 10,000 is coming your way.
Yeah,
I know of a particular preacher, I'll leave his name out of the conversation, who was supposedly this great healing minister. And this family, very well off, president of a bank, the wife came down with cancer. And so they heard about this particular healing minister, and they went to him. And he found out through a series of questions how much these people were worth. And he said, I'll be glad to pray for you, but that'll cost you $10,000. And so some of them are so crafty that they'll get the information out of you about how much you're worth, how much they think they can tap you for, without you even picking up on it. Others don't care. They just see you as a number, and you might give 5 and the other one will give 10, but they have this general presentation that'll shake money out of people's pockets without them even noticing what is happening to them.
Yeah. Yeah, it all adds up to more profits regardless of what camp you're in. Either you find out or you use the general presentation to get money out of people. It works both ways. And you know, I think that at the end of the day, if the Christian that has been blindly trusting these household names will begin to do a just examination about their spiritual walk and who they trust, and they want to be honest with themselves and say, Lord, I've been taking the easy route. I think a way to begin to reverse that is by going back to the scriptures and letting it speak for itself, not allowing people's interpretations to supersede what the text actually says. And how does that happen, Gio? Well, we know people, for example, that all they do all day long is listen to the radio stations and listen to the preachers. And this is what they take home and digest as their nurturing spiritual food, if you will.
Yes.
And instead of listening to pastors, if you can get to that point where now the Bible is up here and everything else is down here, in other words, the interpretations are way out there in left field, all of a sudden you'll begin to notice a peace, a joy in your heart, because you're letting the text tell you what it wants to tell you, what it needs to tell you, not what other people's ideas about the text, them imposing that on the text, and then you adopting what they think about the text because it's convenient for them to think a certain way. So I think that what needs to occur in many people's lives, especially nowadays with many Christians, especially young people who are up and coming, is to do the following, is to go back to the Bible and allow it to speak for itself. Allow Jesus' words to really penetrate your heart and meditate on these things. Not yoga meditation, none of that. But really the, I guess you can call it the Jewish meditation, where it's a constant repetition in your mind.
Thinking upon the verse in the text.
Exactly, and applying it to your life. Because it's not just simple memorization, but rather applying it, putting those biblical principles into action. I'll give you the last word.
If you don't know the text, you cannot even begin to examine what preachers are telling you.
Yeah.
And of course, they'll tell you, yeah, but you need me to know the text. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. He is the one who has been sent forth to teach us truth. Today, we hear a lot about anointing and anointing. I am the anointed one. There's one that travels in the Latino world who is the anointed for prosperity. The others are anointed for healing. When you read 1 John carefully, the anointing is to teach truth. And the anointing is on you, is on me, it's on everyone that is born again. So even though there are very good theological schools, and I would recommend a few of them, we run one ourselves.
Yeah.
I believe first and foremost is you in prayer before God, asking the Holy Spirit, the teacher by far in excellence, to teach you his word. And then even if you don't know all the little principles and the nooks and crannies of theology, when you listen to pastor, when you listen to the teacher, when you listen to the theologian, now you've got a basis to examine him and to say, this sounds biblical and I will continue to check up on it, or this is like completely a wacky, I'm not going to be listening to this guy anymore. So you're right, Gio. You have to go back to that which is basic, which is elementary, and that is study the text for yourself.
Amen, and absolutely. Thank you for being with us once again, and I want to thank the listeners who are constantly downloading this podcast. We hope that they are a blessing to your life, and if they are, please share these with your friends, family members, co-workers, co-students, whatever the case may be. They need to know the truth of the matter in a world full of uncertainty. If you have any questions, any comments that you want to send our way, please do so by writing us at ATA@LWIM.org. ATA@LWIM.org. Almost forgot the address there. And visit our website, LWIM.org and LWIM.org/ATA. Until the next episode, the next time we meet, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@LWIM.org. That's info@LWIM.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.LWIM.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.